into the night. Huge distances are swiftly covered by it with giant leaps. Looks like a train headed for Valley Ho. Well, hello, train, and goodbye! Lois thinks she's going to scoop me. She's badly mistaken.
With the speed of light, he reaches the railroad trestle.
What the?
A torrent has loosened the bridge's supports, causing the tracks to tilt, making a wreck inevitable. The warning whistle of the approaching train is heard. Without a moment's hesitation, the cloaked figure mounts a peak of the rocks and dives forward. Superman presses up, up, until the track is level. Superman holds the bridge rigid until the train passes over.
This is Nightbeat with Robert McCormick on News 74, KCBS.
Ken Ackerman and Ed Brady are here. We're talking, of course, about some of the old radio shows. Of course, Superman, one of the most popular ever. And they had several actors playing the part of Superman.
Yes, the most popular, I think, was Clayton Bud Collier. Bud Collier was not only an actor, but he was also a, what was this game type show.
Game,
he was
a
host
at game show host.
Yes. But I don't know who the actor was. That was not Bud Collier. I don't know who that particular actor, maybe somebody listening in knows who that actor was.
All right. Let's go to Ida in Antioch on KCBS. Ida, good evening. Thank you for waiting.
Good evening. In the mid-50s, I used to go to sleep every night to a perfectly marvelous program called Road to Dreamland. And I don't know if it was on KQW or KPO or KFRC or which station.
Well, I'll tell you, there was a program, if it's the same program, there was a program called Building a Bridge to Dreamland. Is that the one you're thinking of?
That might well be it.
An organ program out of Hollywood. What was the organist's name? Oh, that was very popular. Oh, I know.
No, it was not an organist.
It was not an organist.
Not an organist.
Well, it was another program then.
I'm sure it was called Road to Dreamland.
Road to Dreamland.
And it was absolutely wonderful program.
Sounds like Sleepy Time stories.
Night, so. There was just all kinds of different music, but it was not organ music.
All right, well, then we'll come up with an answer here before midnight. Thank you, Ida. Roanne in Oakland, KCBS.
Yes, when I was a child, I used to listen to Let's Pretend. But I never hear that rebroadcast. Do you remember that?
You never heard that? You never hear that rebroadcast?
No.
Well, just a minute, Roanne.
A little bit of it here.
This is the story of Rumpelstiltskin, written and directed by Nyla Mack for Let's Pretend.
Recognize that theme, don't you?
Oh, it's wonderful.
That's about all we
Nobody
have.
Nobody rebroadcasts things like that regularly.
Would you like to hear it for the kids? It was wonderful for children.
Someone should start a radio station of just oldies.
Let's do it, Ed. You've got the money.
Thanks, Roy.
We can make something of that. They have a station now that talks about nothing but money.
That's right. That's right. George in Palo Alto, KCBS.
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to ask a question. Some years ago, I became acquainted with a gentleman by the name of Reginald White, who was happened to be blind. And I understood that he and Meredith Wilson and a third man, who I think I've heard occasionally, doing a 30s music program on Saturday morning on KDFC-FM. I understood that these three gentlemen together put together the original Camel Caravan on the Don Lee Network in San Francisco.
Oh, that goes way back.
And then Meredith Wilson, Reginald White did not leave. He stayed here. But Meredith Wilson took the show back to New York. Do you know, my question was, the third man who used to do the 30s music on Saturday on KDFC-FM.
Oh, my, oh, my. The name Bud Carey is popping up, but it isn't Bud Carey. Bud has a program on KALW. No, I don't know. I can't recall.
I try to get an answer for you. Here's Ted now in Oakland, KCBS, Ted.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, we're doing well.
I was wondering if you remembered, the old steamboat whistle that used to announce the 10 o'clock news with Don Mosley.
Oh, yeah.
God, that was wonderful.
I got to tell you about those newscasts here at KCBS now. You're lucky if you see the script before you go on. Aren't you lucky if you see the script before you go on the air, Robert?
That's right. Yeah, Fast and Furious.
Well, but you know, in those days, Don would take about an hour and a half to prepare the newscast, and then he'd go into his studio, you'd sit down on a microphone, and you would do what we'd call woodshed the news. You'd read it all the way through, and then you'd go on the air.
And, of course, Don Mosley still heard on KCBS,
right? He hasn't retired.
No, no.
And, you know,
semi.
Was Red Blanchard, is he still around?
Well, Red left here back in the 50s. I don't know where Red is now. And he was quite a character. Remember that phrase he invented, Zorch?
Zorch. And you know, my mother, she catches me listening to him, she'd just get furious.
Why?
Well, I don't know. She thought he was crazy or something.
Well, he was. Yeah, he was crazy.
And Bill Weaver was here about that time, wasn't he?
Waiting Bill, for Weaver. Yes, waiting for Weaver, yeah.
Yeah, another morning man.
And McElhattan in the Morning was great, too.
McElhattan in the Morning was a very good program, yes.
Yes.
Played a lot of very good music. Very contemporary.
Who was his sidekick?
I tell you, he had a piano player by the name of Friendly Clyde, who was Homer Welch.
Homer Welch.
Homer Welch. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they had, I was going to say they had singers. No, they didn't have singers on the program. No, it was just Dave and a fine engineer, a fine technician by the name of Don Hamm. The fastest fingers in the West.
Well, thank you very, very much. It's the most enjoyable program.
Well, thank you, Ted. Let's get back to some of the some of your favorites. What were some of your favorites?
Well, Ed, you remember the Masters, don't you? Natalie Masters.
Natalie and Monty Masters.
Yeah.
Yes, they were at our station quite a few years before
just,
they went to Hollywood.
Just before the 11 o'clock news, somebody called in, and what had happened, wanted to know about Natalie Masters and Monty. Well, we have a bit of a program by Natalie Masters. She was Candy Matson, you know.
Yes.
That was another of the, I was going to say shoot-em-up programs, detective-type programs that came out of San Francisco. Here is part of the Candy Matson show of, I don't have the date on it, but let's guess. Let's say it's 1948, 49, long in there. Here we go.
Hello,
Yukon
28209. Yes, this is Candy Matson. Stop pouting. Enjoy yourself. It's earlier than you think.
Monterey at Christmas time is delightful. Carmel is most enchanting. Salinas, I enjoy. But to haul us way over to some unexplored cannibal country is too much.
Did you hear that, Rembrandt? Cannibal country, he calls it.
Mad at me, boy. This may come as a shock, but San Juan Bautista was founded by the Franciscan fathers in 1797.
I remember it as though it were yesterday.
Don't let him bother you, Ducky. Mallard can't stand this wonderful air. He misses the gas fumes of the big city.
What? Yeah, if I recall now, I believe that Natalie has passed on, hasn't she yet? I think she's no longer with us.
I think she and Monty both have gone, yes.
But what a great actress she was. And another show, another of the detective-type shows that was, it was practically international in fame, certainly national in fame, was this one.
The National Broadcasting Company presents The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective.
Agency.
Me, sweetheart. Merry 29th of December.
You too, Sam. Did you take the little boy home?
Yep.
Straight home?
Well, not exactly, F. Had to make a couple of emergency stops, but we got there.
What do you mean, Sam?
Well, I got my weekly knot on the head, for one thing.
Sam, just taking the little boy home?
Like I said, F, we were derailed. There was a dash of poison, for instance. A couple of pounds of $1,000 notes.
Oh!
And an infernal machine that nearly blew up half the Mission District. But other than that, we had a peaceful ride.
Now, I don't know who that actor is, but I remember the Sam Spade as being Howard Duff. Remember Howard Duff?
Howard Duff, who married Ida Lupino.
Ida Lupino, yes. Mm-hmm.
Of course, Dashiell Hammett wrote that.
He wrote
San
it.
Francisco's
the locale was
Sam
San Francisco.
Exactly. Now, do you have the whole program, those whole program entirety in the entirety?
If I don't have them, then others do, like Frank Knight and Dave Amaral.
I'd like to play Jack some of the, if we could get a hold of that, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have Joe Gore is one of the Private Eye writers, and we're doing a mystery show. I'd like to get some of that Sam Spade. How long were they in length?
Half hour. Okay. Generally, some were 15 minutes.
We'll take commercials out, right? So we're down to, what, 20 minutes or so?
Oh, yes. There were probably, what, Ed, 4 commercials?
I could definitely play
probably.
Let's play. Let's look at all. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Middle and end.
All right. Let's go to take some folks who've been waiting in Grenville. It's Grenville. John, KCBS. John, go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Got a question towards Ken Ackerman, since he used to do some news broadcasting during the early 40s. Gabriel Heater, he was nationally syndicated. I was just a youngster at the time, and I remember him starting out saying, "There's good news tonight, folks," and then he'd go on to the war. Was he like ABC, CBS, you know, Blue Network,
Mutual.
Red Network,
seems to
or
me,
what?
You're right, Ed. He was Mutual.
Mutual, I think.
Mutual, yes.
It was KFRC.
I think you're absolutely on that
yeah.
one.
Great, thank you.
The other question I have, too, is, what were the first radio stations in San Francisco and, say, Oakland? You know, the very first ones.
Oh, it would have been KPO, KFRC, KGO. Those call letters have not, well, KPO has changed, of course. KLX, KRE, KROW.
KWBR.
KWBR. What else?
Those are.
There were no more than. There were only, say, eight or ten radio stations, but now.
KLX was owned by the Tribune and was
yes,
in the Tribune Tower.
Yes, yes.
Brick Laws, I think, at that time, who owned the Oakland Oaks, owned that station.
I'm trying to think of another. KJBS, of course, here in San. KSAN was another one.
And those call letters
KYA,
been early?
Yes,
KYA was one of the very early ones.
Yeah,
that's where Lou Hurley started his radio career.
All right, LG in Oakland, KCBS. Yes.
Well, thank you. Well, how about the human side of the news?
Ah, yes.
And I wanted to ask you in particular if you ever listened to radio station KRE in Berkeley when they had the Yerba Buena Music Shop program on it. And I believe the woman's name was Vivian Borman.
That may be a little before my time.
Well, it could be.
I remember Bert Solitaire over there.
In 1946.
Oh, that's not before my time.
He broadcast from alongside Lake Limburger, as they used to call it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Keep listening and enjoy it. Hi, Dolly and Hayward, KCBS.
Yes. Do you remember Dobsey?
The Dobsey twins? Dobsey?
No, Dobsey, Hubert Dobbs, I think his name was. And he had an exercise program in the mornings.
No, do you remember that one?
No, Jack LaLanne's the only one I remember.
Well, this is way, way back in the early 30s, I think.
That predates both of us, then.
Both of us, yes.
Yes. No, I don't remember. Sorry.
Okay. All right, we'll try. You never know. Now, you folks out there listening, if you have answers to these questions that, for some unknown reason, our experts can't answer, please call in. 1-800-228-5227. Toll free, 1-800-228-KCBS. KCBS Nightbeat, Ken Ackerman, Ed Brady are with us. And Art in Walnut Creek. Good evening. You're on.
Yes, Jan's Journal was, in the 30s, I would think.
I don't know. Jan's Journal or James?
No, it was Jan's, like the Jan Black has journal. And
that's what I was going to say.
That's what we thought he meant.
Yeah.
This was Jan's Journal, and she would do some music and... In highlights
and
whatever.
What year is this you're talking about?
In the 30s.
It should probably be in the 30s.
Wow.
All right. Thank you for pointing it out.
Before our time.
Yes.
All right. One of the callers who's no longer with us wanted to know why the quality of the announcers has gone down. Is that perhaps
it's just the quality of the announcers is different. Back in the days when they were hiring an Ed Brady or a Bud Heidi or a Clancy Cassell, they were selective. They wanted voices. They were interested in voices. It didn't matter how intelligent we were.
You had to have a certain timbre. Be able to speak.
And we all
properly.
Fit into a certain mold, yeah. And we were very stentorian, and thank heavens that announcers don't talk that way today, or you couldn't stand. I don't like the way
we were a little standoffish, sort of, in those
days.
Oh,
I think so.
And the public never had a chance to talk back to us like they do
That's
now.
Right. But now, the announcers are specialists now, for the most part.
Yeah, true.
It's how much you know. It is not good.
Well, there are also, though, by virtue of the fact there are probably 4 to 5 to 6 times as many radio stations, and therefore, numbers of people, being hired.
One of the first communicasters that we ever had was Ira Blue around here. You remember?
Oh, dear old Ira.
In the basement of the Hungry Eye,
just a
people would call in, and he would answer them, and usually he would take up more time than the other people.
Yes. Quite a talker.
Quite a talker.
An inventive mind. Good writer. writer. Very good writer.
Yeah.
All right, Ken, take us down to the bottom. Just let's give us a good taste of some old time.
All right, how about going down memory lane now for just a little bit? Okay. Big band music was current here in the Bay Area and around the country for, let's say, 20 years.
A good 20 years. Faded out right after the World War II.
And dancing in ballrooms and hotels and that sort of thing. That was very
And popular. A lot of our work was going out and doing the dance remotes.
Well, here is a remote from way back in 1932, and it sounds like the announcer is scared to death of the microphone.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. The vibrant music of Anson Weeks and his orchestra, who nightly serenade the guests of the Hotel Mark Hopkins in San Francisco. Festivities are musically introduced with the melody Soldier on the Shelf.
Can you imagine the dollies today dancing to that kind of music, Soldier on the Shelf? Okay, and then now we go to the music of Sterling Young and his orchestra. This is from 1937. The other one was 1932. From 1932, we go to 1937.